Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited that you are back with me today. I am back with my new friend, Aaron Lynam, and we're talking about God's creation. And I love talking about God's creation. It is so amazing to me that he has gifted this to us because he could have just made everything to be black and white, right? I mean, that would be kind of boring if everything in our world was just black and white, but he didn't do that. He made things colorful and bright and different and amazing. And you look at the intricacies of how he created each individual flower. Like sometimes I look at the petals on a flower and they'll have like little teeny dots or little teeny tiny lines. And it's almost as if God just had a paintbrush and he's like, I'm just going to put little dots and little lines on this one and make this one that color. Like it's just so amazing. And for anyone to be able to look at creation and not believe in a creator just blows my mind. Like how can you not see that there is an incredible, wonderful, amazing creator out there who has gifted all of this to us. And so as homeschool parents, you talked to Aaron about stewarding God's creation. And one of the ways we steward that is to help our kids understand who God is through his creation. And so we have such a great privilege to be able to do that. And so we're going to talk more about that today. But before we do, I want to say thank you to our sponsor again, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great homeschool curriculum that is truly rooted in the solid biblical foundation you are looking for, go no further than bjupresshomeschool.com. Check them out. They've got something for every grade, every subject, and their team is there to help you figure out and navigate what is best for your family. So whether you're independent learning style or parent-led approach, whatever is best for you, they will help you and they have something for you. Check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. All right, Aaron, we kind of left off yesterday. If you guys missed yesterday's episode and Mondays, go back and listen to those. But we left off talking about how we can really practically enjoy God's creation and get our kids outside because again, you know, in addition to learning about flowers and birds and trees and rocks and mountains and all the amazing things that surround us, sometimes it's hard to know, like, what should they do when they go outside? You know, we could give them a pogo stick and a jump rope, and those are good things too. But how can we help teach our kids to be outdoors and to enjoy God's creation? And let me just say really quickly too, especially for maybe those parents who they live in the city. I mean, we have people who listen to this podcast who live in New York City and they have parks around them maybe, but they don't have mountains all around. And, you know, it's just different. Like we all live in different environments. So how can we help our kids to enjoy nature?
Well, let me start with things we can do if we do have access to outdoors. Okay. And then we can go into if we don't have so much access to outdoors.
Sure.
And so first, I would like to just say that that boredom, it's really good to be okay with that boredom and to trust that God is going to use that. I think boredom is a beautiful building block that God uses in our children's creativity and just in their sense of wonder. And so he has made them curious. They're going to find things to do. It does help if you can give them a lot of materials. And so maybe you change up the scenery. Maybe you go to the river where there's lots of rocks and water and they can make boats to float down the river. Maybe you go to the forest where they can find different insects and trees and leaves. Maybe one day you go to the beach. So switching up those areas and those materials that they have to work with. And then I mentioned before just the importance of getting community involved. I guide a nature group here in Colorado and we hike every other week together. And it is beautiful seeing the kids. They just, oh my goodness, there's some healthy competition while we're hiking for one. So they will hike further, but also they come up with all these ideas together. Hey, let's go over here and do this. Let's build this fort over here. Let's go and see if we can cross that river over there. And so getting kids involved, because then all that curiosity is just compounding and they're going to use that together. I want to mention you brought up flowers and the details of flowers. And I really believe that as our kids spend more time outside, they begin to see those details. One thing I love showing my kids is with sunflowers. We grow sunflowers in our yard, and especially with the really big ones, I will pick one flower or just take them over to one flower and I'll hold it and I'll say, okay, how many flowers is this? And the first time I did this, of course, they say one. There's one big sunflower head. And then I pulled out a little lens, a little magnifying lens. And I showed them that in the center disc of that sunflower, the brown part, there are actually hundreds, sometimes thousands of individual florets. Wow. And then those yellow petals around the sunflower, those aren't actually petals. Those are also flowers.
Oh, wow.
And so a sunflower is a composite flower, meaning many pieces. The same is true with daisies. And so composite flowers like daisies and sunflowers, I can show them to my children. And for one, they're just wowed because they realize I'm not holding one flower. I'm holding hundreds or thousands of flowers. And we can use that to show them, you know, God's word is the same. That when we first look at it, we might see a big picture, but the longer we look at it, the more we notice the details and how everything is connected together and just how much life it holds. And so just allowing our kids that time, because they will naturally start to notice those details in nature.
Yeah. So cool. Let's talk about those who live in the city, you know, or in areas where there's just not a whole lot of nature around them. You know, how can they really hone in on enjoying God's creation?
This is actually part of my story, because my enamor with nature, as our kids were really getting into the toddler then preschool years, it started to grow, not here in Colorado. We were living in Kansas City, Missouri. And so we lived in the city. And what we would do is we found these little pockets of nature. There was a little 3-mile nature trail through the woods with a little waterfall. There was a little river walk. Those became our tromping grounds. We learned every turn of those trails and we went to them as often as we could. So whatever opportunity you have, even if you have to drive a ways, like I mentioned on the other episode, Charlotte Mason says every child should have at least a half day out in nature a week.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. If you have to drive an hour, but you get to spend 4 or 5 hours out in creation, make it happen.
Yeah.
Just pack a lunch and make a whole day of it. And then also, if you don't have that everyday access to nature, you can bring nature to you where you are. I mentioned bird feeders.
Yeah.
Those are huge. We hang them all around our house so that when we are eating breakfast or when we're washing the dishes, wherever we are, we can see these birds flying around our yard. And then having living plants in your home, maybe set up a fish aquarium, having fresh cut flowers in the house, just bringing whatever nature you can indoors, because God created nature to be so good for us physically, mentally, spiritually, and we can give our children those benefits even by having it inside our house if we can't get outdoors.
Yeah. How do you feel about bringing in, because we talked a little bit about screen time and things like that. I know in the past with my girls, there will be something that we want to study and I don't have that particular thing, that particular bird. One time it was butterflies. We didn't have that particular butterfly in our local area. So we just went on YouTube and watched videos on that particular butterfly. Do you utilize that with your kids as well?
Absolutely. And that has been a struggle for me, honestly, because I really feel the tension of screen time and I want to make sure that most of their screen time is really beneficial like that.
Sure.
And so we'll absolutely do that, because if they have a question and I don't have the answer to that, which happens all the time, like I know a lot about our local flora and fauna, but I don't know about plants and animals over in Brazil or Argentina, you know?
Right.
And so finding really good sources for that. One I love is by Answers in Genesis. They have a program called Hike and Seek. And it does very similar to what I do in my work, is just teaching who God is through creation. And then also our podcast does the same. And just, I'm totally about, if you need to do that to find an answer for them, but definitely be careful about the sources that you're using as well.
Yeah. Answers in Genesis has so many great resources for homeschool families.
Yeah.
So and we'll put a link, as a matter of fact, I think it should be up now. Answers TV now has some Schoolhouse Rocked podcast episodes on it. Yeah.
We were on just this week to find a Hike and Seek episode, and I saw your program on there. I was so excited.
Yeah. That's amazing. But they've got a ton of great resources. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Erin. Erin, you've mentioned that you have authored two books, and I know you're in the process of writing another book, and you also have a podcast. Talk about your books that you have.
So my first book is called 936 Pennies, Discovering the Joy of Intentional Parenting. And really, this is what a lot of our time in nature has come out of, because we realized our time with our kids is so short and we want to use it well. Yeah. And so with that book, what it kind of came out of was our second son was being dedicated at our church. And our pastor, after the dedication service, handed us a gift, and it was a jar with 936 pennies. And he told us every penny in that jar represents 1 week you have with your child between birth and 18.
Wow.
And so suddenly, like, that jar felt a whole lot heavier. And he challenged us to remove a penny every week to remind us that the time is fleeting and to challenge us in how we're using it. I had a really hard time with that. Our son was already a year and a half. And so our first task was to take out, I think it was 72 pennies.
Oh my goodness.
And it was so hard to not feel like that time was just gone and lost. And so what I ended up doing was we set up a second jar to put the pennies into, because then we're not overwhelmed as we look at that first jar feeling like the time is running out. Instead, we get to see the other jar building up, which reminds us that we are investing in their legacy, in their eternity, especially as homeschool parents, just how much opportunity there is in every single penny and every single week. So that book is all about, like, how do we do this? It comes from Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, and just really raising our children and training them in a way that honors God and builds into their eternity.
Yeah.
And it's fun because in that book, which I wrote several years ago, it came out in 2018. At that time, I wasn't very enamored with nature. It wasn't a big part of my life, but it was starting. There were hints. And so, for instance, there's a chapter in that book called Nature's Classroom, in which I talked about the value of, okay, if we only have 936 weeks, and that's best case scenario.
Yeah. Like,
that's if we brought a baby home as a newborn and they stay until they're 18. If we only have that time, then we can make that time richer by spending it outdoors. And it's fun because my second book, Rooted in Wonder, which came out in 2023, that was an expansion of that whole chapter in the first book. Like, that just grew. God took that chapter in that first book, Nature's Classroom, and grew that desire and that idea and just showed me the power, that there's a whole lot of power here, not just spending our time outside, but using that time to reconnect our kids to their creator. And so that's really where Rooted in Wonder came from, and just how do we do that? And I love at the end of every chapter in Rooted in Wonder, my publisher had this idea and I loved it. They said, at the end of every chapter, let's have a really practical section. And it's two parts. It's seeing nature in the Bible and seeing God in nature. And seeing nature in the Bible is really a small Bible study you can do with your child to help them explore the nature narratives in Scripture and how God used nature in Scripture. And then seeing God in nature is a real practical, okay, let's go outside now. Let's get our hands dirty and let's do something outdoors that deepens our children's theology and faith.
Yeah, that is so cool. And I love that story about 936 pennies. And I love that you took another jar, because as you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, it would be heart-wrenching. Like, now, you know, my oldest is 18, her jar would be empty. And your oldest son, he's 13, so his jar is more than half empty. But to be able to fill up that other jar and realize that as we're raising them, as the time is passing and it passes so quickly, that we are speaking back into their lives. We are intentionally parenting them. We are pointing them to Jesus. We are doing our very best so that when that jar is empty, they have another full jar that they can take into their adult life and hopefully live out God's purpose for them. And what a beautiful picture of parenthood, because, man, it goes so, so quickly. And so that's a beautiful just image of our time with our kids. And again, what a privilege we have to be able to have them home with us. You know, I can't think of anything greater than being able to be with our kids day after day after day and raising them up and building that relationship with them. And so many miss out on that. And if parents have missed out on some of that, they can still bring their kids home and yeah. they can still, you know, start filling up that jar and you be the one to fill up that jar instead of someone else putting those pennies in that jar for you.
Yes.
So great stuff. And then really quickly, again, tell us about your podcast. I know you've mentioned it several times this week. It's called It's called Nat Theo. Tell us again what that is really quickly.
Thank you. Nat Theo is a podcast for kids, and Nat Theo is short for natural theology, the study of God through creation. And so it is nature lessons rooted in the Bible. And I teach it with solid science and solid faith as a master naturalist and with a degree in biblical studies, just bringing those together in a really fun and engaging way. So a lot of homeschool families actually use it as their science and Bible curriculum.
I love it. I love that so much. We will put links to all those things in the show notes. Erin, thank you so much for being with me this week. It has been such a fun pleasure chatting with you. And thank you again for just pointing us back to nature, pointing us back to God's creation and helping us to understand the beauty of just God's awesome creation. So it has been so much fun chatting with you. Thank you guys for listening this week. We are so thankful for you. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe to this channel and share this with your friends. Share the podcast with your friends. If you're listening, would you leave a review? If you're listening to this on any podcast app, go to wherever those reviews are and just leave a review and let others know why they should listen to this podcast as well. And again, you can find everything at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next week on the podcast, and we will see you back here on Monday. Have a great day. Bye.
We look at Christianity just from the perspective of not only is it true, but is it good? And so we just kind of help moms have these conversations with their kids to know kind of what questions to ask or to talk about the different worldviews that are permeating our society that are actually undermining kids' ability to have faith. Because it's really interesting how the ideas are like these little plants that grow in a soil, and every generation has a different kind of soil, and you got to know how to till that specific soil for that generation. So I would say that sexuality is one of those things that our kids are growing up just in a hyper-sexualized culture in a way that we never did. And it's really deviating from what we believe the Bible teaches on sexuality in the sense of one man, one woman for life in marriage. All the experimentation is encouraged nowadays. And, you know, kind of that you don't knock it till you try it sort of mentality. They don't understand why does the Bible talk about this? What is the meaning behind this? Isn't this just outdated? What does our sexuality have to do with the Christian message and with just the Christian truths and the Christian worldview in general?